Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Takes the head for Lekkonen. He's got Landeskog and McKinnon. They get it to McKinnon. His shot, he scores! Nathan McKinnon opens the scoring for Colorado.
McKinnon driving wide, kicks it to Rampton. Rampton maneuvers McCarr down low. McKinnon, he scores! Faceoff win comes to McKinnon. Then
Taves shot, scores!
Juskin playing without a stick. His leg shot blocked in front. Turning, shooting, score! It's Tarasenko. His first of the series. Colorado is in need of a change after that icing. They're able to get one. It's David Jim. Setter scores! Robert Thomas halfway through the third. Here's Falk. His shot. Eric Johnson again. McCarr. Tarasenko. Knuckle. They score! From down 3-0, the Blues have tied it.
McKinnon. Two in the game, and he's flying into the zone. Nathan McKinnon, the draft, and he scores! That was special. Below the goal line is Tarasenko. They work it to Perron. Now Buchnevich from the dunk. Tarasenko, St. Kupfer, they score! Robert Thomas in the final minute, and he's tied again.
Here's Bozak. Lines and shoots, he scores!
Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game six in the series.
Yeah, oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. What the heck happened last night? How many of you out there just went to bed stunned last night?
I thought I was going to get to go to bed early. That's what I thought. I thought when it went up 3-0, then they put up another one, and the next thing you know, it'd be 4-0, and you'd be going into the third period, and yeah, you'd be 6-7 minutes in the third period, and then your little eyes would start to doze, right? Your little eyes would get heavy. And you just...
Well, I was thinking the same thing, but then I thought, well, no, I got to stay up to the end because I want to see the handshake line.
Oh.
I was curious about that.
Right.
So, plus I was interested to see if there'd be any... fisticuffs, any Donnybrooks,
right.
Any melees at the end of the game. You know, that's how in control it felt when they were up 3-0. But that's what we're debating today. How much of it? You got to choose. Is this, hey, tip your cap? The Blues showed what Evans has been talking about for weeks, that this is a team that's got some championship metal and you can't overlook. Or did the Avs just gag it away? Harsh word, I know, but did the Avs choke? So we're getting your reaction on that. Ramoslav.com, text line 303-713-1043. Some other stuff going on before the game. Craig Berube, the Blues coach who we correctly slammed for fanning the flames last week in St. Louis.
Correct.
Which helped lead to the death threats, the racial slurs and insults thrown Nazem Kadri's way. Thanks to our listeners in Highlands Ranch for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. And when he was asked about it after all the news came out about the threats against Kadri, he just said no comment. And when he was ripped for it, justifiably so. Well, yesterday before the game, when he had his media availability, before he even started taking questions, he made this statement.
Just before any questions, I just want to comment on my no comment the other day. I'm not on social media. I was aware of a threat made to Nazem, not the racist stuff. and no way is it acceptable by the St. Louis Blues or anybody else for him to have to go through that. Being a Native American myself, I've heard it all. I've been around it. It's not a good thing. And so I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, there's no room for it anywhere.
You buy it? Sincere? Or was this somebody in the organization who said, dude, chief.
Yeah.
Everyone calls him chief. Chief. It's a bad look. You screwed up. Go make it right.
Yeah. I think that, one, that the organization said, dude, we're taking so much heat. You got to go out there and do. But I do believe that it was probably, I just know how you are as an athlete or as a coach. Like the rest of the world, you don't see anything. You have such a myopic view of the world. You're so focused on this that you don't, like you have a lack of awareness. And I do believe there was sincerity there. I believe that. And let's face it, with his history and, you know, his suspension and some of the things that, you know, he said as a player, I'm sure he's sensitive to it, you know. So, yeah, I think the organization, though, made him aware of what was going on. And, you know, I just, that's coaching part. I mean, that's part of what the coaches end up, the way they live. And the players, too, man. You know, the tunnel vision aspect, I always find it fascinating. Like Jerry Jeudy with his rabbit ears on social media. They spend less time on and listen, man, we're all guilty of spending way too much time on social media, but spend less time on that and more time on learning how to catch. You know, that type of thing.
Speaking of the Broncos, back at work at their OTA today, but we have another name in the possible Bronco ownership derby. Matt Ishbia, a reserve on Tom Izzo's 1999-2000 national championship team at Michigan State. He's now a huge player in the mortgage business. He and his brother are part of a group that have put together a strong enough financial proposal to at least be in the running. This according to our 9 News Bronco insider, wow. Mike Kliss.
Wow.
Rob Walton and Josh Harris, the prohibitive favorites, they've toured the Broncos facilities in the last few weeks. Another possible bidder, Todd Bowley, has been in London in recent weeks, finalizing his $4+ billion purchase of the Chelsea soccer team. And he may be also looking to drop another $4 or $5 billion on the Broncos. So
just
new names to continue to look at.
This gave me a great idea. Mike, you giving me that. Gave, you know how the wheels turn, the hamster started. The hamster just kind of stretched. Oh, and got on his little wheel and went. And boom. Idea.
What is it?
All right. I have just figured out how Tyler Palumbis can get a one-on-one with George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell you what. Why don't you tell me and everyone what your plan is.
I've got a plan.
What the little hamster wheel is spit out. That plus how and where is your faith in Darcy Kemper to be the guy to bring a cup to Denver after what you saw last night? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Here's Bozak. Lines and shoots. He scores! Tyler Bozak in overtime has forced game six of the series.
Okay. Darcy Kemper. Yesterday we talked about Kemper. We talked about what we wanted to accomplish besides winning the game. Some other boxes that we wanted to get checked.
Yeah.
We said, hey, let's get McKinnon, McCarr, and Rantanen going. Well, McKinnon got going.
So, Rantanen missed one right at the doorstep.
There's your silver lining there. Right. McKinnon got going. Awesome. We also said, boy, it'd be nice to have Kemper with a really, like a shutout or just a really
clean, good game. And I keep hearing all this, like, well, when you're not facing a lot of shots, you know, you tend to blah, blah, blah. You know, listen.
That's weak.
Up all night with a crying baby, I don't care.
Right.
It's weak. I don't care if you face three shots. Stop them.
So yesterday we talked about Kemper, and we said the Avalanche aren't winning in spite of him, and they certainly aren't losing because of him. But to this point, you can't really feel yet that they're winning solely because of him. That's how we kind of had it laid out with Kemper, and I think we laid it out properly. After last night, where are we with Darcy Kemper?
They lost because of him. Now, listen, man, there was a lot of other factors, but the bottom line, that overtime shot was soft. Sorry. That's straight up Dairy Queen. Soft serve. I like to dip them in that chocolate sauce.
That's a new one. I was 100% prepared for you to say that goal was softer than whale poop.
Right.
But instead,
I went soft serve.
Mark Schlereth just continuing to surprise me.
Well, you know, delicious. I mean, poop is always funny, but this is not a funny situation.
Good point.
Soft serve ice cream.
Makes people feel better as they talk about something that's uncomfortable. Okay, I got you.
That was just soft.
All right, yeah, it was.
It wasn't. There was no deflection on that. You had vision to the. I'm listening to Hank. I just call him Hank. What's the goalie's name that was in there?
Lundqvist.
Yeah, Lundqvist.
King Henry.
Hank. I call him Hank.
Sure.
So Hank was essentially saying, hey, man, if I can see the puck off the blade of the stick, I got to stop that. He was talking about this pregame. By the way, puck drop?
Yep.
6:15.
Blew past the over.
Eight and a hook.
Not even. Well, it wasn't close. Even close.
I kept looking. I had my clock on it.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on Twitter.
Yeah, I had the clock.
Schlereth wins.
He took the over. Yeah, so, you know, my guy Hank was talking about, hey, man, if I can see it off the blade, you know, if I have an unobstructed view of the puck off the blade,
yep.
Like, and that's any goaltender. It's like anytime I have a situation that situation presented to me, I should stop 100% of the puck shot at me. And if you can't, you know what? You're not a good goaltender. That's what it comes down to.
And here's where we're at with Darcy Kemper. We are right now with Darcy Kemper on May 26th, where we were on October 1st, November 1st, February 1st. We're in the same place. The question, can Darcy Kemper lead this team to a Stanley Cup? And the answer has always been, don't know. Won't know until we know.
Right.
And as of right now this morning, we still don't know, and we still have to be skeptical, if not out and out worried.
Yeah.
In his ability to deliver a cup.
I would say right now, if we were putting, like, odds on it, I think the overall faith in Kemper being able to lead you or steal you a couple of games on the way. I mean, let's face it. If you get all the way to the Stanley Cup, and we assume Tampa's going back with the way their goaltender is playing right now, the Terminator, well, let's assume it, yeah.
You nailed it.
Yes. If we just assume that, like, goaltender to goaltender is not close.
No.
It ain't close.
No. If that's the matchup that you're looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not even close. Not even close. So, now, will I go to the lengths that Sandy Clough was suggesting last night? That you bench Kemper?
Mm-hmm.
And go with Pavel Francouz? Oof. I'm not ready to go there. I know it's game six, but I want to give him the opportunity to bounce back. I want to give him the opportunity to show that he can be that guy. You lose a game like this, and then you pull Kemper, who is undeniably your guy and has been your guy all year. Like, it's one thing for St. Louis. They had two goalies all year.
Mm-hmm.
So to go from one to the other, to go from Husso to Binnington in the Minnesota series wasn't something that the rest of the team looked at and said, whoa, you pull Kemper after that game. Well, let me ask you, what would be the message that was being sent to the team? How would you react to it?
I think it would be a panic move.
Okay, I agree.
It's a panic move.
So while my confidence level in Kemper isn't very high right now, you got to go back to him.
That is, I agree with you. That is Sandy. I think that's the part of that is, you know, Sandy, emotion, like,
he's
angry.
He's an emotional fella.
He is an emotional
fella. Shut up!
See? So,
that's him on
let
a
it
good,
go, man.
That's him on a good day.
Yeah. I think that's an emotional. I really believe what you've done is, if you do that, you're sending a panic stricken.
Yep.
Now, hey, listen, that's a soft goal. I'm sorry.
I thought the tying goal, minute left in regulation, was
56 seconds left.
Pretty soft, too. Yeah. He boxed that thing around. It was like,
anyhow,
that was like a bad third baseman, just iron glove. Coming up, we've got four down territory, which will be a in-depth look back and reaction from everybody involved in the Avs game last night. What happened and where do they go from here?
Are you ready for some football?
This is four down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. First down.
I think you have to stay aggressive. You got to continue to play your game and believe in what you're doing. And like I said, for the most part, we've been doing that. But like it's starting to look like you're either the hammer or the nail in the series, you know. And so we have to go and be the hammer. Like, we have to keep moving forward and pressing and you know, forcing them into mistakes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Schlereth made history this morning. Take note, James Marilat, you criticized Jared Bednar.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
I did?
Yeah, you did. And it wasn't for his ensemble last night.
Oh, I loved his ensemble last night.
It was for his coaching.
At some point, man, you got to, I don't know what you do, call timeout, break a stick, you know, switch a line. I don't know what you do, but at some point, you guys just exhaled. Like, that was the most frenetic pace of a hockey game in that first period that I think I've ever that I've witnessed, at least this year. It was incredible, and the unrelenting pressure. You had those guys ready to fold. Then you know what you did? You got a 3-0 lead and you basically exhaled. And you let them back in the game. And I told you this earlier. The neutral zone has been owned by the Avalanche throughout this entire series, man. You don't get any free passes. They skate so exceptionally well. And all of a sudden, they're letting the Blues just skate through the neutral zone. Like, okay, here we go. And you're letting them start to dictate to you.
Those sustained forechecks in the Avalanche zone, wear on the Avs, all those things.
You let them. You know why? Like, I always talk about the running game in football, and you kind of go, oh, you roll your eyes because
I do roll
you don't
eyes.
Understand it.
Sure, right.
But here's the deal. Is the running game, to me, is about dictating in situations that everybody knows you need to run the ball. Coming off the goal line, in the red zone, all those things. That tells me you're a physical, hard-nosed, like, mentally tough football team. And the same thing goes for hockey for me, man. You got to dictate in situations you know you have to dictate, and they let the Blues dictate.
Next in the four-down territory.
Second down.
It's a fun opportunity for us. You know, hopefully, everything happens for a reason, and we got to get this done. But, yeah, it should make our team a little harder, a little more grittier in these situations. Can't win every series in 4 and 5. You know, they have a great team, and excited to go have a huge challenge in St. Louis and try to close out a series.
Well, if there is a silver lining to what went down last night, the breakout of Nathan MacKinnon is a huge development. And that goal that he scored to put them up 4-3 to culminate the hat trick was, considering time, place, playoffs, moment in the game, everything, it was one of the greatest goals I've ever seen.
Right.
He had that mindset that you see like a great basketball player have when that player says, it's winning time, it's my time.
Incredible.
I'm going to go make a play, I'm going to go win the game. And that's what he did. He carried the puck from his own zone, used all, I think it was 4 of the 5 Blues, used them as traffic cones, and then finished off with as great a play as you'll ever see with that backhand to forehand, and then as he's at an impossible angle, still able to flip it up over Husso's shoulder. Incredible.
It was one of the most remarkable goals. Hey, the one question I have for you, though, is when you throw your hat on the ice,
yeah,
you can't be a real hat guy.
You can go back and get your hat.
What do they do with the hats?
They'll give them away, donations, whatever.
Does a player ever keep them?
Oh, I doubt it. Although there's some nice lids.
Like, I have a stack
of $30 hats.
I'm just saying, you have a stack of hats. Like, this was a hat trick, and here's my. And you commemorate it with by keeping the hats and making like a display.
Could do that.
But you can't be a real hat wearer, because if you're like me, I wear a hat every day.
Yeah.
You get a hat that fits just right and you get it all molded. There's no way in hell I am throwing that hat.
I immediately heard from a guy after the hat trick said, man, he goes, I spend too much on my hats. I'm not going to throw my freaking hat down on the ice.
Right. Now, I might bring, just in case, like, I would bring a garbage hat. Like, the kind
that
have
like, wear your lawn mowing hat or something like that.
No. I like the, a hat that doesn't fit right. Like, it's got the short little forehead that you just don't, you would never wear it. Like, put that stuff in your back pocket and go,
that's my hat trick hat.
My hat trick
hat. I see. Always have a hat trick hat when you go to a hockey game. Hockey 101.
If you're a hat guy, you got to have a hat trick hat. Because you cannot throw the hat you're wearing onto the ice.
Forget about Man 101. Hockey Guy 101 from Mark Schlereth. Next on Four Down Territory.
Third down. Sometimes you get on your heels a little bit, get a little tight, and, you know, you want to try to stay aggressive, but you also don't want to miss an assignment, things like that. You want to try to play safe at times, and sometimes it comes back and bites you. So that's what it did tonight, and just got to stay aggressive. That's what we've been doing. That's what we did game 3 and 4.
All right, there's Gabe Landeskog. I get what you're saying about Bednar, but why is it when the Avalanche win, oh my goodness, the leadership of Gabe Landeskog, oh my God, the guts and character of Nazem Kadri, oh, Cale Makar, mature beyond his age.
Right.
But when they blow a game like last night, oh, Bednar, you didn't get him properly motivated.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the players carry some of the responsibility?
Absolutely. And I appreciate Landeskog taking that responsibility. We played on our heels. We played a little bit safe. We got out of our game. I'm glad. You know, and that's probably that was the message between periods of Bednar and after the game from Bednar. I mean, you witnessed it firsthand, and he warned you. He warned you a couple games ago, you know, like, hey, man, when we get out of what we do, we're not as potent. We're not as good. Good. I'm glad that at least they recognize it.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Just a resilient group of guys got down and didn't want the season to be over and fought hard, got some big goals late, and was lucky enough.
There's Tyler Bozak, the hero, who, despite playing very few minutes, he played a grand total of 7 minutes in that overtime game. In what, a 70-minute hockey game about? He played 7 minutes, and yet...
Well, they scored with 16 minutes into the six, 16-something.
All right, 65 minutes. But still, this guy...
64 and change.
This guy... He's got a bit of a knack. He's kind of like a TJ Oshie in Washington. Just has a knack for coming up with some big goals. Did when the Blues won the Cup a couple years ago. Not a prolific player, like a poor man's Chris Drury. But I'll tell you, when the announcer said Bozak with the puck at that moment, right? I kind of clenched a little bit. I'll admit, I clenched.
You got clenchy?
I got a little clenchy because this guy has that knack, and there he was.
Mm.
Game winner. Now,
when you get clenchy.
Ably assisted by Darcy Kemper, who, not a strong showing there.
I hate it when you get clenchy Rhinestones are left on the couch.
Hey. Diamonds, man. Diamonds.
Clenchy.
Now, though, for Four Down Territory, our tour around, in this case, the Avs gut punch loss. There's no other way to put it. We'll hand out goat horns. Who gets the goat horns? And where is your level of confidence that the Avalanche are going to be able to bounce back? That plus, we'll get into some other things as well, including next level trash talk. I mean, next level trash talk coming up next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Everybody, here we go. We did not anticipate this.
Not at all.
It was supposed to be nice and clean. We took the Blues' best shot in game four. Hockey term, they emptied their tank in game four. The Blues did. They put everything yes. into that game. They built Kadri up to be the enemy. They used that as their rallying cry. They went out. They were emotional. They were physical. And they still got beat. And the idea was, how much do they have left? Well, midway through the hockey game, the Avs are up 3-0. We're like, this thing's over. 1-2-3 Cancun. And then that happened. And I'm not looking for you to take the easy way out, nor any of you on the text line. This isn't, well, it was a little bit of both. Did the Avalanche lose that game, or did the Blues go out and win it? You got to choose one.
Yeah, well, it depends on if you're in the Avalanche locker room or if you're in the Blues locker room.
Or if you're an Avalanche fan or if you're a Blues fan.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, the Blues will sit there and tell you all day long. That
I know, but I'm asking you to be no bias.
Okay, no
straight
bias.
Straight down the middle.
No bias.
Impartial.
Impartial.
What happened?
This is my view as a...
You're a former athlete. You've been in the arena.
Yeah.
You've played at the highest level. You've won at the highest level. You've experienced pressure games. Avalanche lose it, Blues win it. What was it?
Absolutely 100%, without question, unequivocally. Is that right?
Yeah.
Unequivocally. Thank you. The Avalanche spit the bit. They choked. That was
really?
A choke job.
Just a choke job, huh?
Dude, they weren't even playing the same game. It wasn't. I mean, that was. That the first period of that game was sharks feasting on seals, blood in the water. I mean, that was straight out of Jaws.
How'd the seal sound?
Oh, the seal's like.
I don't know if a seal's capable of going.
Oh, yeah, Michael.
I don't know if they're capable of going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Add some Shakira to that
yeah,
seal.
Yeah, it was like a whale. Right. Whale meets Shakira ended up being a wounded seal.
It was. It was a bloodbath. It was a bloodbath. Killer whale jumping up on the beach and just dragging seals in. And then all of a sudden, you know what? You got fat. You had so much seal blubber in your tummy. And you're just shark tummy, that you're like, oh, I got to take a little nappy time.
You look at the moments where they could have put this one away, right?
Uh-huh.
They're up 3-0. Landeskog has scored at the 4-minute mark of the second period.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 3-0. 4 minutes later, they get a power play as Kadri draws a high sticking penalty.
Right.
And so... They're on the power play. They're up 3-0. You're midway through the hockey game. Goal there. It's over.
It's over.
It is over. They do not convert on the power play. And that mm-hmm. power play expired at about the 10-minute mark. 4 minutes later, Tarasenko scores. And now the Blues have life.
Right.
I mean, you're just looking at kind of the... You go back and you do the, how did this thing happen? You look for some of those clues along the way, and there was a big one right there. You're up 3-0. You got all the momentum. You're on a power play. You don't convert. And it was a very lackluster power play, by the way, and it just seemed like it almost set the tone from that point forward, that they didn't convert on the power play, and they just went into a shell after that.
You think there's any lingering effect to getting jabbed in the eye in the first series of Darcy Kuemper and missing time?
Ooh. No, because he's played. What did we say yesterday? He's been solid. Don't downgrade it to okay.
No. The same?
No. Okay is okay. Solid is solid. There's a difference.
All right, so if you're...
Solid is better than okay.
So if you're putting it as a... let's, like we do with the quarterbacks, let's put the milk chart to it.
Okay.
Okay, so if it was
Solid. Kemper's up until this point, up until last 2%. Night, has been 2%.
2%.
Yep.
You'll dip your cookies in it, but you're not finishing the glass.
Correct.
Right? You're right. Going to, about a quarter of the glass, you're going to pour a whole glass so you can dip your cookies in the top part. And then you're going
to
have a couple.
The show, if you're new to the show, we like to use milk as a way to kind of.
Sure.
Sort of amplify, illustrate. And so in this case, Kemper up until this point has been skim, not whole.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not heavy cream. It goes heavy cream, whole.
2%.
2%.
And then.
Then skim.
Skim.
And then water that's disguised.
No, skim is water disguised as milk. So let's go like half and half heavy cream would be your best.
Yeah. Vasilevsky.
Whole milk would be. Like, way above average.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like what Bennington was doing early.
Yes. Good point. Right? Yes.
And then 2% is huso, or if you're in California, juso. And then, you know, and 2% also is Kemper.
Yes.
And then, really, skim milk would just, I don't know who skim milk would be. Some guy you pull out of the stands.
So he'd been 2%.
2%.
Solid. Last night, he was skim. Simple as that.
Okay.
All right.
He went skim.
All right. We'll get some more reaction from you. Good stuff coming in on the text line. Some other stuff to get to. The Broncos resume their OTA today. We could have new players in the ownership front. Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider, reporting that the Matt Ishbia, who was a college basketball player at Michigan State, become a big player in the mortgage business. He and his brother, Justin, are part of a group that have put together a strong enough financial proposal to at least put themselves in the running. Certainly not a favorite. They're a long shot. Byron Allen Group's a long shot. Still looks like it's Walton's to lose, but there's another name for it.
Which does lead me, that leads me, Mike, to something I thought about earlier in the show that we had been waiting to get to because we forgot about it. But now you reminded me again of how Tyler Palumbus can actually have a one-on-one meeting with George Payton and
yeah, Nathaniel Hackett. When you brought this up earlier, I was like, okay. So how does the Ishbias being involved relate to Tyler Palumbus?
Well, every prospective owner that has put together the proper financial bid has had an opportunity to go over to the facility and meet with the powers that be.
Yes.
Get the tour.
That's right.
So all Tyler needs to do is put a group together. I'm sure Tyler's got a lot of really rich, famous CU alum.
Sure.
He could put a bid together.
They ooze money up there in Boulder.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why they stink. They just keep the money for themselves, and they don't pay the coaching staff. But
too soon?
Too soon?
Too soon.
Anywho, that was a cheap shot.
That was. That's usually the stuff I say about CU football. But
coming from the guy that went to the University of Idaho?
Yeah, exactly.
Vandals. Don't mess with the Vandals.
That's next level rock throwing from your glass house, but okay.
Anyhow, just say, sorry, CU fan. I was just kidding. But with that said, he puts a group together, then he gets to tour the facility. And in touring the facility, he gets to meet with George Payton and Nathaniel Hackett.
Genius. Just genius. Next level genius. So have you been following, there's going to be another one of those silly golf matches going on?
Yes.
It's going to be Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, you expect a certain amount of trash talk, right?
Yeah.
Kind of help promote the thing. They're athletes, right? They're competitors. They're going to talk trash. Well, Brady posted a video recently of him holing out from, was it a hole in one or a holing out from the fairway?
I think it was a hole out from the fairway. Yeah.
Anyway, he posted the video of it, and Allen came on and said, that's, quote, BS.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Brady responded. Now, you tell me, because this to me is next level stuff. This goes beyond, hey, we're here to WWE style promote the golf match. Brady says, talking about Josh Allen, quote, golf bleep talk is a little different than pro football bleep talk. Josh really hasn't backed up much on the football field in his career, let's be honest, especially playing against me. Wow.
Brady's got some Richard Nine in him now, and I frankly I love it. Like, he is a guy. Speaking of having one-on-one meetings that Tyler hasn't had, I've met with him many, many times. Speaking of Richard,
I always wanted to be like Mark.
And Josh Allen, too. And they are both legendary, just smack talk. They're both smart, funny, quick-witted, and love to get into it. Just love to get into it. You know, Brady's so buttoned up, you don't necessarily see that side of him. But I will tell you this. There's very few places in the world where Brady gets to be a dude. Right? He's always got to be buttoned up because there's an image and blah, 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 blah. That's why people love seeing him drunk after the Super Bowl parade, right?
Because it was like,
he's like, hey, man, he's a real human. He's not real.
He's not a cyborg. Yeah.
And I did an event with Josh Allen probably right after his rookie year. Maybe it was after his second year. So I hosted an event at the Super Bowl. I think it was for Castrol Oil or something, right? Like this chalk talk type of thing. And I'm flipping him a little grief on stage, Mike. You know, and most of the time guys just kind of take it. And dude, he came right after me. And I was like, all right, you want me to drop a set. I like this, right? And so we go back and forth. We're having fun. Meanwhile, TJ Watts on the other side of me, he's not saying boo. You know,
he's just
sitting there. But yeah, so those legendary smack talkers. Legendary.
What else happening? Well, I asked this question earlier in the show. Do you folks still want Rockies updates? And I got a lot of reaction, and it's pretty much 50-50. Like, yeah, no, we want the updates. Others are like, who cares?
Right.
Yeah. How about new?
The Rockies did lose last night, or yesterday afternoon. They lost 2 out of 3 to the vaunted Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates scored 10 runs.
Yeah.
They came into the series the lowest scoring team by far in Major League Baseball, but they put up 10 on the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the guy that pitched for the Rockies, some dude named Feltner, that was the guy called up when Chris Bryant went on the injured list.
Yeah, again.
No, he's not Iron Man.
Tony Stark went on the injured list?
Yeah, Tony Stark. Chris Bryant.
What is that, Black Sabbath?
Let's hear that again.
Go ahead.
Let's hear that.
Wait a minute, I got you ready?
Oh, no, you gotta play this.
Na, 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 na.
Chris Bryant.
Is he alive or dead? And did he sleep on a prison bed? We'll just leave it there. Picking up checks, we shouldn't care.
You are... At the risk of making your enormous ego even more, you are so good at hearing music and substituting lyrics. I've never met anybody better at that than you are. You just put that together on the fly.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's certain songs that resonate with you when you were a kid, you know, that you kind of grew up with, right? Yeah. So the lyrics are always kind of at the top of your head, and then you just gotta.
Yeah, but you did it on the fly. Yeah. That was awesome.
Change the subject matter a little bit.
Yeah.
Laying on a prison bed.
Should we even care? Picking up checks. You know? Jeez.
Oh, Chris Bryant, man. Yeah.
Come on, Tony Stark.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.